They basically botched it. That's how Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette described the actions of two engineering firms who were working on Flint water before and after the city's ill-fated switch to the Flint River in 2014. Yesterday, the Attorney General announced civil actions against the two firms, Veolia and LAN, seeking hundreds of millions of dollars. To help us understand more about the latest legal action, Current State welcomes two guests on the phone. Mr. Noah Hall is a Special Assistant Attorney General for the state of Michigan. He's also an environmental and water law expert from Wayne State University. Mr. Hall, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Jonathan Osting reported on this development yesterday for the Detroit News. Welcome back, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
I thought before we got into the allegations against these two firms, I thought we'd just try to set up a little bit of context here. Mr. Hall, can you tell us what these two companies were doing in Flint? What work were they doing?
Sure. That's a great place to start. The first company, LAN, Lockwood, an engineering firm based out of Texas and Nebraska, has been doing work in Flint since 2011. They were hired by the city of Flint back in 2011 to study whether the Flint River could be a safe water supply for the residents, and if so, what they would need to do with the Flint water treatment plant in order to deliver safe water from the Flint River. City of Flint relied on that advice and that analysis, and then in 2013, hired the same company, LAN, to upgrade and update their water treatment plant, which hadn't really been used for daily use for over 50 years, and get it ready to deliver safe water from the Flint River. So that first company, LAN, was basically the engineering firm that came in and designed the updates and the improvements to the Flint water treatment plant so that it could use Flint River water. Of course, they failed to add corrosion control and other safety measures, which we could get into later. The second company, Veolia, which is the world's largest water services company, they do business in dozens of countries in every state. They got hired by Flint in late January, early February of 2015, after Flint had already switched to the Flint River, and the residents were seeing terrible problems with their water, not just brown and discolored water, odor, taste, numerous reported violations of the Safe Drinking Water Act for E. coli and other pathogens, and some fairly major warning signs from the General Motors factory that they had to stop using Flint River water because it was corroding their engine parts. So with all of these problems going on and the residents very upset, very concerned, demanding action, demanding answers, the city hired Veolia in January 2015, actually put them under contract in February of 2015, and Veolia was hired to come in and figure out if there's a problem with the water, if so, what the cause is, and what needs to be done about it, and ultimately to let the residents know if the water was safe or what needed to be done to make the water safe. So Veolia came in, that was in the spring of 2015, late winter of 2015. They came in and they told the residents, basically, your water is safe. The discoloration and the brown water is nothing to worry about. Keep drinking it.
Noah, this is Jonathan from the news. On that point, these companies are both charged with negligence, but also in the case of Veolia, fraud, actually, or accused of fraud in the civil case. Can you explain, the origin of those claims, specifically the fraud one I'm curious about?
Sure. And they're actually pretty straightforward claims. I mean, these are the types of claims that you would have against a contractor that comes and does work on your house and does a bad job. Basically, the first claim is professional negligence, which is also known as malpractice. Folks are usually most familiar with this claim when it comes up against a doctor for failing to diagnose your illness or using the wrong type of treatment and causing you further harm. But professional negligence, malpractice, applies to any profession. Attorneys are subject to it, and professional engineers. Our first claim is just as a matter of professional standards and professional duties, these engineering firms who are licensed engineers within their profession, came in and did work that's simply not up to the standard of a professional engineer. They did poor work, negligent work. The second argument, which is the second claim, which is just made against Veolia, is fraud. Fraud, quite simply put, is when somebody gives you bad information, knowing that you're going to rely on that bad information and ultimately doing you harm with that bad information. That's exactly what happened here. Veolia told the residents the water was safe. Veolia told the residents the cause of the brown water was merely old rusty pipes or a water main break. Veolia said there was no reason for further concern, no health concerns, no fundamental, never mentioned corrosion and what it could do in terms of lead. And they gave that information very publicly. They showed up at a Flint City Council meeting, gave a PowerPoint presentation, and essentially sold the residents on the idea that their water was safe, or at least tried to sell the residents on the idea that their water was safe.
Was that the same day? Was that the PowerPoint presentation I read about that happened on the same day that we learned more about the water of Leanne Walters in Flint?
Exactly. You've got your date spot on. That's exactly correct. It was February 18th, 2015. Veolia gave a PowerPoint presentation to the Flint City Council with a lot of members of the public present, told them their water was safe, never mentioned lead, and that very same day, Mike Glasgow from the city of Flint went out and tested the water of Leanne Walters, and it came back at 104 parts per billion of lead. Just to give you some idea, anything over about 5 parts per billion of lead, you're going to be concerned, especially if it's your kids. Anything over 15 parts per billion of lead, the drinking water supply needs to take some corrective measures and get people an alternative supply of safe water. At 104 parts per billion of lead, a resident drinking that water is facing an immediate health threat. And Leanne Walters had 2 young children in her home at the time that Veolia told her the water was safe. The very same day, the test showed that she had 104 parts per billion of lead.
Noah, we know from emails that around that same time, an EPA regulator started looking at this issue, raising it with the DEQ, asking why the state hadn't required corrosion controls in the water. And that's where a lot of the blame has been placed heretofore, is on the state government for not requiring these corrosion control chemicals, perhaps due to a misinterpretation of federal law. So the Attorney General's office has charged 2 MDEQ employees in the criminal investigation. How are you able to square those two, that the MDEQ has responsibility, but these companies also have responsibility? And some critics are saying that the AG's office is trying to shift blame here away from the state. Is that I assume you disagree with that characterization. Why?
Well, it's a great question, and actually I'm really happy to chat about that and kind of get into the details. What happened in Flint is a series of events with, frankly, plenty of blame to go around. It's not like there was one decision made at one point in time that caused all of these harms and injuries in the whole Flint water crisis. What happened were some criminal actions. As our office has charged 2 state officials already and reached a deal with a third, of course, local official, there was absolutely some criminal actions involved here. There was also some negligent and fraudulent actions by companies, and the two worked hand in hand. In effect, the state officials committed misconduct by failing to require corrosion control and otherwise violating the Safe Drinking Water Act, Veolia was brought in to figure out what was wrong with the water, and Veolia essentially covered up the conduct of the state officials and then made it worse. Further, it's not like Veolia or LAN was an innocent bystander or even just a concerned citizen seeing this happen. Veolia and LAN were professional companies hired, paid tens of thousands of dollars In the case of LAN, hundreds of thousands of dollars for their professional expertise, advice, judgment, and problem solving. And they didn't do that work. That in no way lets the state officials off the hook for their criminal actions, but Veolia's fraudulent statements induced the residents to continue to believe the water was safe for months and months after we knew that was no longer true. So there's clearly points in time at which the negligence of these companies became a big factor in why the Flint water crisis blew up to the scale it did.
Noah Hall is a special assistant attorney general for the state of Michigan. Jonathan Osting of the Detroit News also joins us here this morning. We're talking about events related to yesterday's civil actions launched by the state of Michigan against two engineering firms who were working on Flint water before and after the switch to the Flint River in 2014. We'll point out that both LAN and Veolia issued pretty vigorous statements defending themselves. LAN's comments, the Flint Water Advisory Task Force found that this tragedy was a story of government failure at all levels. We're surprised and disappointed that the state would change direction and wrongfully accuse LAN of acting improperly. Veolia claiming that its engagement with the city was wholly unrelated to the lead issues. It says, in fact, lead and copper testing were specifically not included in the company's scope of work because the city represented that it was itself conducting required testing at the time of our analysis. Would you care to respond to those rebuttals, Noah?
Sure. Very specifically, first of all, the state task force report, which, by the way, I think is an excellent piece of work and has been very useful for not just the public but our office. The state task force report did not discuss LAN very much. That's absolutely correct. Of course, LAN doesn't mention why. The reason, and this is written right into the state task force report, is that LAN did not cooperate with the state task force report. The state task force report says that they tried contacting LAN numerous times with questions and requests for documents, and they were basically ignored. And the state task force report actually includes, I believe, as an appendix to the back of that report, a list of the questions that they had for LAN that LAN never answered before the report went out. So for LAN to say that they were somehow cleared by the state task force report is a total mischaracterization. They essentially refused to cooperate with the state task force report, and the state task force report made very clear that an issue of future investigation should be the role of LAN and the competence of LAN in the work they did for Flint. Secondly, on Veolia's point, Veolia is trying to get a little, I think, too cute with the technicalities here. First of all, Veolia, and this is all public, all publicly reported, you can go and look at Veolia's statements by their vice presidents to the public and to the media back in February of 2015. Veolia told the public in 2015 that they were going to take a comprehensive look at the entire water system in Flint, from the intake of water at the Flint River to how the water comes out of people's taps, that they were going to take a comprehensive look at the entire system, figure out what was going on, what problems were existing, what needed to be done about it, and whether the water was safe for residents. Now, of course, they're coming back and saying, "Oh, we only did a small job. We didn't take on the whole project." But of course, that's not true.
No. We're just about out of time. I'm going to let Jonathan ask the last question here. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Sure. Let me go back to LAN real quick. Their response specifically, they said that they regularly advised that corrosion control should be added, and that it was the decision of the city and the state not to do so. I know, Noah, you based a lot of your claims on publicly available documents. Did you see anything to that effect in those documents, or do you have any reason to believe they're not being truthful there when they say they did bring up corrosion control with the city and state?
Well, frankly, that's an issue that we're going to have to learn more about in discovery. But at some level, it doesn't matter. Think about it this way. If the city hired LAN to build a bridge and they told LAN not to use middle supports for the bridge, and LAN said, "Oh, we don't think that's a good idea. We need these supports or the bridge might collapse." And the city says, "No, go ahead and build the bridge without the supports." So LAN builds the bridge without the supports, the bridge collapses. Absolutely, the city would be to blame in that circumstance, but so would LAN. LAN is the professional engineer. They get hired for their expertise, and at some level, regardless of what their client asks them to do, they have a duty to do work that is safe and competent for the public, and they failed that duty.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks so much, Noah, for your time.
Thank you for having me. Here, I appreciate it.
I tell you what, we've got a few more minutes here. We're going to continue conversation. This is going rather well, and we appreciate Mr. Hall being with us here. Have you been able to contact the engineering firms or their legal representatives? I mean, do you know who's representing them?
At this time, I've had no contact with the firms or their attorneys, and that's pretty standard in a civil case. We've essentially fired the first shot, the complaint, and now we'll have a chance to begin a discussion with the attorneys, with the engineering firms, and see where they want to go from here. It's a little bit of a tricky situation because we've got a criminal investigation going, and we've been very careful not to use any of our powers or any of the information we've obtained through our criminal investigation in developing this civil lawsuit against the companies. So at some level, we're starting from day one. Yesterday was day one. We file our complaint. Now the ball is in the company's court, and I expect, frankly, I expect them to, hire a team of lawyers and attempt to defend their reputation. Veolia, in particular, is the subject of a lot of litigation around the country. Veolia has a pretty mixed track record of doing business with cities. Oftentimes, there's claims of breach of contract, fraud, negligence. There's been some corruption scandals with Veolia. So Veolia knows how to hire lawyers and knows how to defend themselves. And we're looking forward to making our case in court.
Sure. Well, on that note, how long do you anticipate something like this could take? There are, of course, lots of civil lawsuits out there right now involving the Flint water crisis, several class action suits filed on behalf of Flint residents. Those also tend to name the state government as well, though. Is it easier to go after companies than it is the government for something like this, especially when you're looking for damages?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, the standard for going after a company is a little different than going after government, especially when you're dealing with professional negligence here. You know, and this goes back to the really big issue about who's to blame for the Flint water crisis, government or the companies. And it's not either or. What happened in Flint is just one example of this growing trend of public-private partnerships, where government relies heavily on private companies for their expertise and the services they provide. And there's nothing wrong with public-private partnerships. Sometimes they could be a very efficient way of giving citizens better services. But when the public-private partnership fails, which it very much did in Flint, both the public entities need to be held responsible and the private companies need to be held responsible. If a partnership fails to deliver for the residents and the citizens, both partners in the partnership should ultimately be held accountable in court.
We're talking with Noah Hall, Special Assistant Attorney General for the State of Michigan. Jonathan Osting of the Detroit News also joins me here on WKAR's Current State. We are talking about issues related to the civil action that was announced yesterday, by the Office of Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. Todd Flood, as we pointed out, is working on the criminal side of this for the AG's office. Jonathan, I want to direct a question to you. Your reporting seems to suggest that he's encountering some hurdles. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. He's mentioned roadblocks before from government agencies, and he said yesterday that is essentially continuing, that he is not getting all of the documents he requested. Now, documents can mean emails, it can mean text messages, it can mean voicemails, even PowerPoints, he said. The reporters pressed him pretty hard on that, trying to figure out, well, what agencies are withholding documents? And he wouldn't say. And what is the government, is the governor withholding documents? He wouldn't say, but he did say very emphatically that he's not getting everything he needs and that all agencies, including the governor, will eventually turn over documents if he forces them hard enough. So he's obviously trying to put pressure on whoever it is, trying to poke whoever it is that's not turning over documents. It's sort of a weird situation here for the Attorney General's office because they have assistants Attorney General that are actually working for some state agencies that are involved in some of this document retrieval. But Bill Schuette, Attorney General, has created what he calls a firewall in his office where the investigation is completely separate. So it's theoretical that people who work for the Attorney General are not producing all the documents that the Attorney General's investigation is looking for. However, in the case of the governor's office, he's also hired outside counsel that is involved in that process as well that could potentially be playing a role. We don't know because Todd Flood was not willing to get into specifics.
Noah Hall, care to comment on any of that?
No, I'm going to leave the criminal investigation to my partner, Todd. I would just say that I certainly wouldn't want to be in Todd Flood's crosshairs, and not cooperating with Todd Flood's going to make your week and your month pretty miserable.
Jonathan, one more question for you here, and I'll actually direct this at both of you. On a possibly related note, there was another drop of internal Flint emails just a few days ago from the governor's office, if I'm not mistaken. Are we learning more from that? Are you going through emails? What's in there?
We are. It's been a busy news week, obviously, and there were 300,000 pages of emails released this week. So to be honest, I've been tied up on a lot of other stuff. We have some other reporters on our team that are looking through those. These email dumps from the governor are, of course, always welcome, but they also tend to be a little repetitive. So you're seeing a lot of emails that you've seen before, but maybe a different part of the thread in that email conversation. But there are some from some agencies that we haven't seen before that could be very telling. It's just a matter of sifting through all of those.
Noah Hall, Attorney General Schuette referred again yesterday to more charges to come. What do you think lay ahead here?
Well, we're being fairly systematic in this entire investigation. Much like the media and much like the public, we're learning more every day. And every bit that we learn is putting another piece together in the puzzle. As we learn enough to essentially to have a strong legal case against any of the actors, we bring the case. And then as things develop, you learn more and more. There's also a little bit of a pattern or process here where we go after the folks for whom the evidence is the strongest right up front, and then in the course of our investigation of those folks or those companies, we learn more about other people involved and other companies involved. You brought up one example earlier. Lan is saying that they were directed not to use corrosion control by various officials. We're going to learn more about that allegation in the course of this litigation, and it could give rise to additional charges.
We want to thank both of our guests here. Noah Hall is a Special Assistant Attorney General for the state of Michigan. He's also an environmental and water law expert from Wayne State University. Are you on loan from Wayne State, Mr. Hall? Is that how this works?
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's really honestly an honor to be a teacher at a public university, and then when the state needs me to do instead of teach, as they say, I'm very happy to do so. So I took a leave from Wayne State for the rest of this year so I can focus on this work for Flint, which is the most important work I've done with my career.
We want to thank you for joining us. We hope to have you back. Also, a big thank you to Jonathan Osting for his contribution here to this segment today. He reports for the Detroit News. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.